The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Blurred lines. When me see me, I got right off his whole life. His whole life. You better grip me by me, Kimba, and hold tight. Hold tight.
Hold tight.
I don't think he's really ready for the pressure. So I'ma give him something light. Yeah, I'ma give him something light. I can feel he's getting full of the pleasure. The appetizer, tranquilize ya. So I'ma give him something light. Yeah, I'ma give him.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. That's Vividly Val with the track Something Light, and I'm hoping to keep it light today. That's what I was hoping last night, to keep it light. And then I woke up this morning to see the headlines. I'm not sure how light we're going to be able to keep it today. I'm not sure how light we're going to be able to keep it today. However, we've got lots to talk about. Joining me today on this World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer is Mr. Mark Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Palmer. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. What an introduction.
Joining us as well this morning is Mr. Cecil Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
It's always good to be on your show, Aaron. I'm excited about the topic. The mic is not working. Gene Seeds, go over next.
Okay.
No problem. Well,
all right. So we're going to make everything work right now. Getting everything sorted out. Okay, good.
Is this better? Good. All right. I'm here, and I'm waiting for you to start, Aaron.
All right, so I've got we got a lot of topics, and I think we're going to sort of, yes, sir. Yeah, I'm looking at the headlines right now, Mr. Palmer. So what I prepared to talk about this morning is a couple of things. Mr. Palmer had shared with me several weeks ago, a document called Questions for a COVID-19 Commission, and essentially a group of 8 doctors in the United States of America have composed a letter addressing the response to COVID and providing sort of an autopsy, no pun intended, of the state's response to COVID and our response, right, to COVID and the state's response. It's a very interesting letter. It's really well written. And there is a summary of 12 questions that the doctors provide to interrogate.
I think it's a good thing because when we talk about it, because I remember when the Concorde crashed, there was a huge investigation. They pulled everything apart, that whole plane. They investigated all the pilots and so on and so forth, and then they found out eventually what caused this crash.
Yes.
Right? And so that made aircraft flying safer because there were like 3 or 4 things that went wrong. It was like a perfect storm, but now we know how to avoid it in the future. And I think what they're raising in this document is there's certain unanswered questions they have about how that pandemic response was carried out. And, you know, and we are going to have more pandemics, apparently, right? We're being told. So I think moving forward, you know, we need to be able to learn what went wrong, what was done right, what was done wrong. We know what was kind of the things that weren't done very well. And so we just need people to acknowledge that and have a good, you know, a better modus operandi going forward, right?
Right. And across the globe, these conversations have been taking place, right? Yeah. Like, people are interrogating the responses. Doctors are finally able to speak freely without fear of being censured or banned from social media platforms when they attempt to either engage critical debate and discourse or just to present information, right?
Yeah, because there are attempts being made in Norway. I think they refer to Norway, Denmark, the UK, Sweden, but one of the places that hasn't done this, big progenitor to all of what happened.
The other place that hasn't done this yet is the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm excited about the conversation is because we can also use this as a model to interrogate all of mm-hmm. our systems mm-hmm. or responses mm-hmm. to crises, right? Like, we haven't had an interrogation of the response to Dorian, not a proper interrogation of the response to Dorian. We haven't had a proper interrogation of the response to COVID. And another thing that this, to the state's response to COVID, another thing this provides is a model that you can't necessarily rely on government Mm-mm. to assess itself, Mm-mm. right? And that you need reputable private sector or NGO, right, or non-governmental spaces or organizations that are prepared to invest, right, the time, the money, the resources in producing these types of autopsies. But that's not all I have on the table to talk about today, Mark. And we're going to have sort of a battle between the ideas, I guess. I got this theme.
It's 64, right? And so how old a Bahamian man live these days? I heard it was like 59 or 69 or so. It'd be interesting to let's research the actual, the age that we live here, because we're getting very close to that time. So when you retire, you might only have 4 or 5 years to enjoy your retirement.
Well, listen, there are all kinds of issues to interrogate on that. The story is in today's Guardian on the bottom of the fold. Lerota, no issue with raising retirement age. Theme is structural reform versus charity, right? I had a couple of stories lined up. Like, there's this story in last week's papers, IHOP donates to PMH, right? As a very interesting story. A couple of stories. We have the story that the Chinese embassy donate televisions to Parliament, right? For the 50th anniversary. And we got this retirement story, right? And all of them make me think about the need to interrogate whether we are charity, right? We're relying on charity, charitable people, and charitable responses to crises versus committing ourselves to structural reform to properly address crises, but more importantly, to prevent them from happening in the first place. And so that is the second subject on the table. Now, I've got another couple of stories that we may possibly touch on. Government negotiating with joint venture group on solar and LNG power. And then another story, someone did some thinking, petroleum competition push. I wonder if anybody could tell me what the common denominator is in those two stories. Have y'all gentlemen read those stories?
I read them. At least
You don't know
through
what the,
Facebook.
Yeah, you don't know what the. I can tell you what the common denominator is.
Go ahead.
The man who wants to own the sun. That's the common denominator.
I saw that and I see you hinting. I'm not sure if you're even going to call any names. I asked recently what is the connection to between the Bahamas, Shell, and the man when they were all mentioned, all seem to be making money at one time.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not sure if that's what you reference to, and it sounds like that is what you're referencing.
Well, this is really interesting, right? Because thousands of Bahamians have been preparing for their future.
Yes.
They have been investing in, saving, working together as family units to figure out how they can solarize their homes in an attempt to reduce their monthly costs, you know, for electricity.
Yes.
And, I think they've been led to believe that solar could be their savior, could be our savior as a collective.
You don't believe that?
I mean, I did. Until I read that Focal subsidiary has formed joint venture company with Shell to facilitate project, which suggests that people aren't necessarily going to be able to solarize individually the way that they perceived, right? Or they projected. But because I have a feeling that if a large percentage of people sort of cut off BEC and move to solar, right, and provide their own electricity needs with solar, BPL would collapse.
But let me bait you and want you to explain what you're saying, right?
Right.
I thought there is a movement afoot to have Bahamians privately solarize their private homes, right?
Yeah.
I know the government has a program in what island there?
Now, let's make a distinction between family islands and New Providence.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the government is relying on that sort of self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
As many people on the family islands as possible could solarize, that would be better and reduce their costs and needs for providing and maintaining infrastructure in these far-flung areas, right?
Then I'll ask you this. What about the carbon credits? When it was said that you can give back or make money from the energy, the solarized energy, whatever that is, and the government will pay you or compensate you for the energy that you save them, something to that effect.
I think you missed the part when they said that carbon credits are only governments to governments.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you really believe your government going to pay you back for anything.
Then I'll even beat you again.
Yeah.
I know there's an ambassador
uh-huh.
who is building homes, mm-hmm. right? And part of the special homes that he is building for low-cost homes, what our government is sponsoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That those homes... energy component will pay back or garner energy or create energy where the government either compensate them for the energy or something
right.
To that effect.
So I think the homes are going to be made with a hemp composite or a natural fiber composite that has the property of sequestering or capturing carbon, right? So it feeds into the gray carbon. But I think whatever happens, the government is going to claim those carbon credits.
But wouldn't that company also get some share of that benefit?
I mean, sure, the company probably will. The question is, will the homeowner benefit in any real way other than living in a really cool concept house?
Hmm.
Right? Nothing has been... This is a part of the discussion. Nothing has been... published, disseminated.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
My question now is that me, who is a conservative man, right,
yeah.
who have issues with the word hemp and marijuana and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to buy a house and then you tell me, well, this house is built off of hemp. And I say, but I have an issue with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool, but I just have an issue with that, whatever social, moral issue. Is there any communication to me before I buy this house that you know this is a hemp house, right?
No, this house ain't for you.
This house ain't for me.
Yeah.
They wait till I buy it and say, man, you
ain't gonna get to buy it.
No? When I ain't get to buy this house?
No.
So are you renting this house, you're trying to say?
I don't even think you're gonna get to occupy it.
You think this house?
So don't pay rent. I don't know if you go occupy it.
But, see?
We don't know who the homes are for. We don't know. Is it a low-cost housing initiative, right? Is it a eco... housing initiative, you know, who is it for?
Nobody asked any questions about this?
I don't know. I wasn't at COP27. I didn't get to go.
This might be an international thing.
That's when the announcement was made.
And again, I find a lot of pressing announcements about the Bahamas is being made internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is a deficit or a space between where they are and where the Bahamas is not able to be fleshed out properly, and then we just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pressuring, no analyzing that, hey, how does this benefit the common man? So I'm glad that the project is happening. I'm even closed my eyes that it's being, the funding is going to be done and sponsored by Bahamian tax dollars,
mm-hmm.
right? I am impressed that the ambassador has returned home to the Bahamas and is doing big things and trying to invest in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. But I do not understand this project. And I feel that when I do ask the questions, they seem as if, oh, you don't want no progress. You just anti-development. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve these answers. I'm not going to answer you because you're just a common folk. And I'm concerned about that.
Well, let's reach out to them and get the press release because normally we'll tell you all the benefits, right?
I will go and look for the press release. So let me throw one more subject on the table. Let's go to this call. And so throw one more subject on the table, and then we're going to go back to COVID. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Dear caller, I apologize. I'm sorry.
So, you know, the thing you were saying about the joint venture between, you know, energy companies and oil distributors, I mean, that's natural because they are, you know, if you look to the States, the energy companies are, you know, they're investing more in renewables. And this mm-hmm. is just another, This is just them being sensible, because they can see their market is going to start disappearing unless they can get a chunk of that market or move.
Right, they're shifting interests, right, to maintain control of the market. But there's something larger than that, right? So the idea is that if too many people pull away from BEC one time, mm-hmm. right, because BEC is the generating arm and BPL is the administrative arm, right? If too many people pull away from BEC at one time, the system could collapse.
It could, but I think that's, again, an exaggeration. If we look at our solarization, it's about 2%. If we can get to 10%, I'll be amazed. And that's not going to collapse BEC or BPL.
Really?
So I think I just
because who
think
would
it,
solarize?
Well, and exactly.
And what extent, what percentage of the whole are they providing, right? So,
because what amazes me, you know, I drive around looking at new developments, I see no solar. Nothing. Nothing on the roof.
Because you're looking in the wrong developments. Yeah. Okay. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Oh.
Okay. Caller, sorry. That was only a couple seconds. My apologies.
But the government has provided incentives. You know, it's tax-free to bring that equipment in. And so I think we're going to get there, but it requires a lot of commitment.
Yeah, and the government said that by 2030, I think they intend to have 30% of electricity production via solar, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that you cannot rely on individual solarization projects to hit your targets, which suggests that this a partnership similar to this is going to be established. The last story I had on the table, and all of them I think sort of come together. Tourism to use AI to identify target potential tourists. This article in last week's Guardian, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation, utilizing artificial intelligence to identify and target potential visitors to the Bahamas. Pause. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Hey, Mr. Nuri.
Mr. Nuri, put on your headphones.
good morning to your guest. I can't remember his name.
Mr. Palmer, yes, ma'am.
Listen, I've seen a post on media, on social media, saying that the government is paying foreigners to come and live in the Bahamas, especially Cat Island.
Miss, what you mean you talking about, and I have it in my notes, you know, you just read my notes. In addition, we are revamping our Beats program to attract digital nomads to have extended stays in hotels.
At $700 a week or a month, and social service is getting so less, and the police pay is so low, and all these other stuff that needs to get some money into it. They're paying people.
No, man, they can't be paying people.
That's what the advertisers say, that they are paying foreigners to occupy, starting with Cat Island. They want to more people into the family island.
Ma'am, you know when you go on Facebook and you see those little stories, like it says, the small town in Italy will pay you to come and live here?
Oh, I'm going. I'm Bahamian, and I know better than that.
But what does... I get it. Listen, ma'am, thank you so much. I got to go investigate that here. Look at me become a foreigner to come live better in my country. Woo! Thank you. I found a page last night, you know, in fact, researching this article, Tourism to Use AI to Identify Target Potential Tourists. I hadn't gotten into it. I just wanted to get a sense of what the program was. But within 5 days, you could get your permit approved. Within 5 days. And I know people who've been waiting 25 plus years for their, not for the Crown land to be approved, the application to be approved, you know, for them to receive the paperwork saying that they were granted, that they were approved. That's
exactly, because I know someone who had theirs for almost 15 years, and they're still waiting to even say something about it. Already had the land surveyed and done everything, just waiting on the paper to move.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Wow. Thank you very much, for bringing that to our attention. Let's go to this next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Blessings to you and your host. I saw the same clipping that the young lady is talking about on social media. It's supposed to be that the government is paying Canadians and Americans $7,000 a month to come and live in Cat Island. But at the end of the clipping, it's very interesting because it caught my interest also. But at the end of the clipping, she did say April Fool. So it means that it's an April Fool joke.
Okay.
That somebody is playing. So tell the young lady not to worry about that. Because she did say
April Fool's at the end of it. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very, very much. I'm so glad. See, ma'am, we found out that that was a bit of an April Fool's joke. At the same time, though, if you look up the, if you go to the Ministry of Tourism webpage, right, where they outline the process for achieving this particular visa, right? So it's an extended work or study program. You have to have show proof of employment or proof of enrollment, right, in a university or college. And I guess, I think there's some other things you have to provide, and you get a permit to live and work and study abroad in the Bahamas. So you live in the Bahamas, but your work must be remote, or your study must be remote. Mm-hmm. And the thing that struck me most was that there was only like a 5-day turnaround on that visa application. But when we read this last lines here. In addition, we are revamping our Beats program to attract digital nomads to have extended stays in hotels. In addition, we are partnering with Canada North Technology Hub 350 in Ottawa, Canada, to advance various elements of tech tourism. Mm. So I did some research and I looked up this Hub 1, this Hub 350 space. The Hub 350 space serves as a meeting place for industry leaders, academia, and finance professionals to collaborate on projects, offering KNBA member companies unparalleled access to the connections and funds they need to get projects off the ground. The innovative new space features a variety of touchdown spaces, meeting rooms, and soundproof phone booths to allow people to work and collaborate at the hub, as well as a state-of-the-art media studio. Mm-hmm. Right? And I thought that was very, very interesting, right? It's like a work share space where people can network together, right? And it's sort of like, I guess it's like
it's in Canada. Ottawa.
Yes, in Ottawa. Okay. It's like an incubator space, right?
I mean, it makes sense to bring those digital nomads in, you know, because A, they're not going to take anybody's job, right? And they're going to probably employ people to do things possibly for them. They're going to pay rent. They're going to buy food. So it does make sense to bring them in. I know a lot of countries in the Caribbean are working that angle. And when I was in Harbor Island, I met a woman who was doing just that. She was living in Harbor Island, working remotely from some U.S. company.
Is there some degree of reciprocity? So yesterday we spoke about the expansion of the diplomatic team, right, into Canada. They opened a new consular office. What I want to know is, if you have a BEATS program where Canadians can come to the Bahamas and work for a year, right, or study for a year, do you have similar programs where a Bahamian can work remotely, live in the Bahamas, but work remotely in Canada? Because if the technology exists and the infrastructure exists for a Canadian to work remotely, then why can't a Bahamian work remotely from the Bahamas in a Canadian jurisdiction, right? And so I'm hoping an expansion of a consular office is intended to
make it go two ways.
Right, and establish these sorts of networks. Mm-hmm. But I went further in the article, further in my research about AI, because we started talking about AI last week.
Right, yeah.
And I found this article, King's College Bahamas. Not an article, but just a post.
This is the one on Blake's Road.
The new high-end educational institution. Mm-hmm. And it says, King's College Bahamas does artificial intelligence sound like the future to you? Well, it's closer than ever. At King's College School, Bahamas, we are using AI to assess the students' learning in science, mathematics, and English. This week, our year 7 students have been taking diagnostic tests on their devices using AI technology, which constantly adapts the questioning according to the students' answers to always stretch them and challenge them. Right? And so, two things happen. I see the potential of AI, the positive potential, but I also see the potential for the mismanagement of the presence of AI in the Bahamas to continue to create like an education apartheid, to create apartheid states, right? Mm-hmm. Where in a high-tech world, mm-hmm. on the same island, in the same yeah. country as other people who are living in a low-tech world.
Yeah,
but right? we know yeah. AI is the future, right? Mm-hmm. There's no avoiding it. It coming. Mm-hmm. And the question now is the Bahamas prepared? Are we venturing down that road or bracing or preparing our children for it? It is good to see that a high-end school, not good to see that a high-end school, it's good to know that a school is mm-hmm. investigating and venturing that way. It is concerning to me to know that it's only in high-end school where the majority of persons who may be using it will be low-end or average or everyday citizens. That's better than that. Mm-hmm. Everyday citizens. Is the Ministry of Education considering that, the way forward? Mm-hmm. Even in my concerns about essays and our traditional writing, right, where AI will change how education is embraced or done, where essays are created by AI mm-hmm. and technology. And I'm not sure if our teachers are savvy enough to deal with students who are savvy in terms of AI mm-hmm. in the future. I'll end with this. When I was in school, which is years and years ago, mm-hmm. when dinosaurs roamed New Providence, right? I came across a student who had a calculator mm-hmm. who did trigonometry and geometry and all of that, where you type in the sum itself. Mm-hmm. These high calculated type
scientific calculators.
No. I had a scientific calculator, but this one was a computer, right? Mm-hmm. Small handheld, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And remember, this is the type in the sum itself. And this handheld device break the equation down in steps, right? Mm-hmm. And give the answer unbeknown to the teacher. So she got everything right, whereas I had to know the formulas and type it into my scientific calculator. Mm-hmm. She had a
high-tech boy,
yeah. an AI boy.
And the teacher didn't know.
And the teacher wasn't aware. No. And mind you, we've been watching her get 100%. Mm-hmm. She would get 100% near high-end for the top math for that year, right? And I'm saying, that calculator was beyond us. I'm just thinking
yeah,
that.
No. So I think it's what they do at the PhD level, right? Like you submit documents, but you have to do an oral presentation, right? Mm. And so the first step to catching AI cheats is to make them present, give an oral presentation. And the way you get them is you change the subject matter slightly. Sort of still within the realm. So if mm-hmm. you would memorize the paper that you produced by AI, that's not exactly what we're going to ask you, right? And that's how you test.
I mean, don't do like QC where to teach the students every BGCSE test. And when anything mm-hmm. come up, boom, we know the answer.
Listen, let me tell you all something about apartheid education. Mm-hmm. I went up to 11th grade, and then I went to England and did A-levels. And let me tell you all how this plantation model education system operates in the Bahamas. For the A level in the Bahamas way back then, we're talking 30 years ago, you took the first year, a year's worth of classes, and then you took all the exams at the end of the first year, right? When I went to England,
they had it split into two, right? Lower right. six, upper six.
Well, first of all, you had the two years. No, mm-hmm. so you had 2 years to do the exam here, but you took all of the first year's classes and then took all of those exams mm-hmm. at the end of the year.
Rather than at the end of the second year, you're saying.
No, in Britain, you do a semester. And then you do the test. Mm-hmm. And if you fail the test, you can take the test again in the second semester with the second modules, right? And then you mm-hmm. could continue to do that into the second year. But it gets better than that. You don't have to, in the Bahamas, you had to memorize every single formula you would potentially need on the exam. By the time I got to Britain, they provided you a booklet.
With the formulas.
With all of the formulas. And my lecturer told us continuously, the test is not to see if you could memorize formulas. Test is if you understand the mm-hmm. the question and to solve it. The formula will be there for you, right? And so even before we get to AI, QC is one of the elitists of the elites. Still, this plantation model, you know, where this kind of idea that you have to suffer to learn properly, you know, but we create, are we creating the potential for apartheid states mm-hmm. across the board, right? When we look at the AI and education issue, when we look at the AI and access to services issue generally, right? Will people be propelled further because they live in a realm or they operate where they can access AI? Are we potentially going to gentrify downtown, right? In our attempts to advance, are we going to, instead of creating an inclusive, inclusionary space, we're going to create an exclusionary space? With the solar question, right? While I am perturbed by the idea that we may be establishing another monopoly on energy generation, the question is the monopoly the best bet at providing equitable access to energy?
It may not be the most equitable, but be the quickest.
Right? All of these questions we should interrogate. Mm-hmm. And then let's go to COVID, right? We know in the COVID pandemic, the then leader of the opposition, now Prime Minister Brave Davis, unfortunately caught COVID, was not well at all, and was airlifted or traveled to the U.S. for treatment.
That happened to several of our higher-end political people who had that, you know, who were able to access to monoclonal antibodies and things, which were expensive treatments.
Right.
So there was a, you know, if you had the money, you could get, you know, you would get a better treatment.
And so those that are responsible, right? Like, we need an autopsy of our local COVID response. This is required, right? But those who are responsible for initiating that perhaps don't care because they don't rely on the local healthcare system for their health.
In the way that we do.
Right, and in the way that many are forced to do. And I think of the story just recently where the gentleman was shot in Abaco. And they took him to a clinic. I think he succumbed to his injuries at a clinic. It's 2023. It's 2023, people. Forget, unless it's a hunting accident, you say, well, what was happening? Mm-hmm. Unless you're the victim of a robbery, you were shot, right? But we're talking about Abaco. Sharks live in Abaco, and fishermen live in Abaco. So you would expect for there to be regular traumatic incidents, maybe fishing incidents. Maybe you have this high level of construction.
They hunt in Abaco with guns.
Right? Why is it that you have not provided facilities and infrastructure commensurate with the experiences of the people, the lives, the systems, the jobs? But maybe it's because you don't rely on this healthcare system for your own health.
But and I think ultimately, I think that's one of the challenges. But I think, you know, going back to should we have a COVID commission, you know, there was certain what these authors from the Norfolk group, and there were some very well-noted epidemiologists, like Jay Bhattacharya, Martin Kulldorff. These were professors at Harvard, Stanford, you know, people who were very serious. And they were actually in the early days, they came up with the Great Barrington Declaration, which said, you know, which was signed, I think, by nearly 500,000 people, but 50,000 physicians that said, hang on, you know, let's go for focus protection. You know, this, let's not focus on these lockdowns because that's not public policy. There never was a public health policy. And let's work on, you know, looking after the most important. They were criticized as, you know, as people killers and, you know, they were taken down. So it's interesting. They raised several questions because, you know, a lot of our pandemic response was based from the American response. It seemed that whatever the CDC, FDA, or PAHO guided us with, that was what we followed. And so this is really, so we, you know, things that happened in the States also happened here. So one of the things they talked about, you know, the huge collateral effect of lockdowns, you know, mental health, suicide,
domestic violence, intimate partner violence.
Recent research indicated that nearly 80% of the, what they say in their letter, 80% of the excess deaths from the pandemic were due to lockdowns. They weren't even due to COVID. And so that was, in many people's opinion, now they're beginning to recognize a huge misstep. Why did they do the lockdown? So this is something that a COVID inquiry needs to look at. You know, what was the science that they used to push something that was essentially very new? We'd never done that before, ever in a pandemic. And why did they do it? And really, and they can't say, you know, we can't remember. They have to actually tell. And we know that things like vaccine mandates were political. When we, through FOIA requests, I think in Canada, we found out, you know, the vaccine mandates weren't based on science. It was a decision.
Absolutely.
So this is what needs to be interrogated, because I thought it was all public health, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it felt a bit, some of these things felt a bit off to me at the time. You know, why were they closing beaches in the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
What was the scientific reason for that? We need to interrogate our public health officials to find out why did they do that. Okay, yeah. If they come and say, well, the CDC told us, fair enough, okay.
I mean, fair enough, and then I could fair say, enough. But I didn't hire them. I didn't employ them. I didn't vote for
right,
them.
Right,
yeah.
But then at least they say, well, you know, we follow the CDC guidelines. And then the next question is, well, did you use your critical thinking skills to evaluate what was being told to you?
Yeah.
You know, or did you just accept it carte blanche?
1 second. Producer, let's... Oh, good morning. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning, Mr. Mark Palmer.
Good morning.
How are you?
Of course, I'm very emotional when this topic comes up.
Yes, sir.
I have the answer.
Yes, sir.
I had it all along. So the question is, if I knew the science, you don't think they knew it? Reason why they implemented the lockdowns, right, was because they had to implement the emergency powers. It was in their benefit to let the virus spread in order to, I was all about control, like I was telling people, it's really a practice run. It's a social engineering psyops operation. And so they benefited from it. And then you see the wealth disparity has grown.
Tremendously.
Now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is what it's all about. If there was never no science behind it. So Mr. Mark Palmer said something very, very crucial. The critical thinking skills, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we would do it.
52, I don't know what happened to this call, but you immediately started breaking up just now. Do me a favor. Hang up and let's try call back.
All right.
I don't know what happened.
The powers that be heard him start talking and boom.
But listen, Mr. Nuri.
Breaking up that call.
Mr. Nuri, please.
Look here, let me tell you something. You could imagine AI running BTC.
Mm-hmm. Cut off.
Look here. But 1 second.
The radio would be cut off.
Look here, I want to get to these texts, but I want to complicate it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You could imagine if our healthcare systems were run by AI. And I say that because we're not far from the Minister of Health suggesting that employing more AI systems could save lives. I'm going to suggest that buying more toilet paper could save lives, Minister of Health. That's where we are in our basic assessment of PMH. But the implications...
Well, I think the implication of the AI is how you... There have been papers written and how... Mm. Because it's how, you know, what values and...
Now, stick a pin.
Right, okay.
Is it being mistrained or is it absorbing information from a racist, dysfunctional, bastardized system? Like, it's just absorbing what's out there and maybe what's out there is corrupt. Like, it can only absorb what exists. Our experiences, what we document, what we say is the truth. What if that data source is essentially corrupt? And that sort of comes to mind. Because
it depends who programs the AI.
Right.
Because we're not talking about super intelligent or even general intelligent AI. It's about narrow AI that we program to create, you know, these outcomes. And so it's how this is. So your public health under AI could, again, be done on a similar way. It could be done to censor any non-competing views or the official narrative. And
but something more innocuous than that, right? Mm-hmm. AI designed and written by global North, European descent people for European descent
not
people.
Be relevant.
How does it apply in this case?
What about critical race theory with AI and Africans knowing the history of this world and they being vulnerable people of color in general, being vulnerable people? Should they be concerned about AI? I would be concerned about AI.
This is what I'm saying, right? And like Mark pointed out, it will be informed by the sentiments of those who are programming it.
Remember, we are savages that need to be re-educated into the West, right? Whatever the West, because that's the best. And so whatever comes from there, which is exactly what you say, we are going to be elevated through that experience in quotation marks, right?
Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Morning to you guys. I think something that's critical that Mr. Nuri pointed out is, are we preparing our country for these new horizons or even just responding to crisis? If we take, for example, the fact that COVID happened and we had to thrust our kids into the digital space,
having not having had any like real national regime about educating our children on being in the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
Only God one knows what the effects of that is. We have strategic report on that. And it's instances like this that we don't seize the moment to continue to build our country in an effective way. And so, like, these things are all on the horizon. Facebook itself is talking about metaspace. And we have to ask ourselves the simple questions right down to our public schools. Like, are we on the cutting edge of educating the next generation, the current ones of us, in terms of how to embrace these new systems that we want to roll out? Even just talking about taking the government system digital, how does a person who is used to filling out mama and papa those declaration forms now become receptive to using an app or understanding these new features? We have to develop some kind of national approach to dealing with all of how we're going to go about effectively developing our country. This road to 50 should be more than just whistles, bells, and bells in terms of the way forward.
Absolutely.
But great show in terms of, you know, talking about the cutting edge things that are out there that can aid in our development. But there's some core and fundamental things that we got to embrace and get with, and students understand how artificial intelligence or anything can benefit them. What the negative aspect of it is, like Aaron would have pointed out, because when you hear leaders now talking about how the Ministry of Tourism or whomever is going to use these various technologies, and the average citizen has no idea of what it is, we also will have no idea of what the implications of it can be, the negative implications of it can be also. And so we need to really, really consider from a national point of view how we're going to go about like educating the average Bahamian about embracing a new frontier as a country.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Caller to the caller on the line. Please hold the line. You hear the music. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
But he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't.
You just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You're on the clock. I'm going to, guys, if you don't mind, let's go straight to this call.
Well, he did make a very good point, you know, about the future education. And what I would say is that it's not revenue. I don't think our political directors see education, they see it as purely as an expense.
Right, right. And in the same way, I don't think they can see individual citizens, they see statistics, right? Yeah. They see...
They don't see future revenue earning
right
population to invest in.
Absolutely.
They just see an expense.
Right, and in the immediate. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning to the best hostess on the Guardian.
Thank you so much.
And also to your guest. I hope I could make sense.
Yes, ma'am.
COP26.
Mm-hmm.
Their guest speaker was Prince Charles, and he informed the nations that were gathered that they needed to have one leader with lots of money. And then on COP27, I understand that at the last meeting, they elected that leader, which has been kept secret. In the Bahamas, we did not close down everything because the CDC said it, nor the USA. We closed it down because WHO said it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no authority, no medical history. He was under direction.
Okay.
And the theme for the close down was to see if the sheeple would obey and submit to a leader and be happy that everything was taken from them. And we saw it happen, and the people in the Bahamas is poorer than they were before, except for the rich who had the shops. The shops made them rich. The shareholders got rich. And today, the regular Bahamian people are dropping dead for some unknown reason in a perfectly healthy body, and everybody's looking around and saying, I wonder why they dropped dead. Go back and see what you did to cause that. And we will have a one world leader. He's already been elected, selected, crowned, and he is in full charge of our government. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for sharing.
So she makes an interesting point, and you know, this is what a lot of conspiracy theorists have purported. But you know, when you think about all the things that we considered as conspiracy theories 3 years ago, they've all come true. The vast majority have been proven. At the time, they were considered heretical.
Mm-hmm.
I could never thought that we'd lock down an entire country and countries across the world.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be impossible. If you'd tell me 5 years ago that every country is going to shut down and nobody could have moved and traversed. I said, no, you lie. At least I could get going on the beach. And they closed the beach off.
But I tell you what
was interesting, you know how that all happened? It was basically the Chinese model, because they closed their country down and purported to say that it was very effective. And of course, European leaders were saying, we can, and they got away with it. And as soon as they got away with it in Italy, the other European leaders and the U.S. followed suit. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller. You on the clock?
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Let me say good morning to my good friend, Cecil, and, of course, Mark Palmer. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
You know, let me try to be very responsible for the commentary I'm about to give.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's really kind of ironic that we went through that whole ordeal of the pandemic, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, persons were saying that this was a almost like, you know, there were lessons to be learned and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward this year, there's no talk about what plans are being put ahead, is going ahead to, in the event of another pandemic, what are the plans going forward? Mm-hmm. Where are the exercises that such an event may happen again? There's mm-hmm. just no chatter, no talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it feeds on to the aspect of when you talk about conspiracy theory. You know, it just lends itself to that aspect that, you know, a lot of these are conspiracy theories that you heard floating around for quite some time actually panned out to be mm-hmm. true. So persons who would want to dismiss the conspiracy theorists and putting potential, because all it is potential information that these things can happen. But in so many cases, a whole lot of it has come to be what people say that they were going to be. I mean, we just can't dismiss it. And in closing, there was something very interesting that was mentioned earlier pertaining to a person already being or elected to be the head of the New World Order.
That was an interesting submission.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, you cannot even dismiss that, because there's so many things done in the dark that when it finally comes into the light, everyone is astounded that how could this thing go under the radar for so long and nobody detected it. So we have to be very learned in terms of keeping our minds open, stop dismissing things, be very receptive to what's going on, trust even the things that you believe that may not be happening, trust that they are happening and prepare as best you can going forward, because the New World Order is real. This is something they're trying to perpetrate, and only we as our people on the face of this planet can stand up against and try either slow it down to its minimum or stop it completely in its tracks. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mark, let me read these texts.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got a lot of texts, and I left them out. I got a text here that says, can't trust those donated smart TV. They may be just like the building or record our business. Remember, they smart. See, this is with the charity versus structural reform, right? No governments accept gifts like that from other governments. Why are we, XX, quickly, the people who can solarize can probably afford to pay their BPL bill, albeit a relatively high bill. The government and BPL is trying to stop this. Another text, if there are any such thing as low-cost homes in the Bahamas, if you spend over $70,000, gross. I'm going to bring in a professional. Let's talk about what low-cost homes means in this context. Aaron, do you think AI will dumb down students or excel them if students don't have to think and teachers don't have to interact as much? Have you ever heard of ChatGPT AI? It basically does the work for students. No one world leader until we get technology to the other 50% of world populations connected to technology. Ah, boy, equal and equitable access to local and global services. Morning, I would like to know what is the name of the one world leader. I would like to know as well. People were dying in droves. I think we've forgotten. 800 people not expected to die died in a few months. The problem started with the lockdowns. But the lockdowns are a solution to crime. That was the start of the problem. Their text to that is a submission worthy of interrogation.
So what was interesting, she mentioned the word smart.
Yeah.
And you know what that actually stands for? I mean, it sounds great. Self-monitoring, analysis, and reporting technology. But we think it's smart, intelligent, but that's actually what it stands for.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mr. Palmer, Mr. Newry. Thank you to the audience, the texters, the callers. Thank you so much, and thank you for us having a responsible, moderate conversation. I thought that was great. Let's remember that sometimes we have to moderate ourselves. Sometimes we can't talk about what we want to talk about, even though we want to talk about it. You guys have a great day, because guess what? Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.